Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to be with you. We're amazed and thankful to the Lord for this new building. It's new to us. May not be new to you, but it's beautiful. God has blessed you. And I sincerely believe He blesses us to bless others. I don't believe this is just a pretty house for you to come to, but it's going to be a beautiful lighthouse for those in this community to come to and to find the Lord. It's good to be back with you. We have new prayer cards. We look a few years older, got a few more miles on us. And I always tell people, please take a prayer card, put it in your Bible, put it on your refrigerator, whichever one you use the most. Just be sure to look. Thank you. Just be sure to look at it and pray for us. You know, I know missionaries oftentimes get the reputation for coming and wanting your money. And it's true that we have to have funds. We need senders so that we can go. But I can assure you, especially after these last 4 years in Liberia, money may get us to the field, but money can't keep us on the field. Only prayer can do that. Because the forces we face, the challenges we encounter, only a faithful God and a praying people holding us up sustain us. And we thank you for that. We know you're one of our churches, and we appreciate so much your support. God bless you. Feel free to look at our table. Come by and visit with us. And we just pray that God would touch your heart and stir you for what He is doing in West Africa.
Well, I too would say it's a pleasure to be here, Pastor. Thank you for having us come out and greet the church and bring you what I hope is a good report. Report that Jesus is alive, God is still in the redeeming business, and His Spirit is still moving. Amen. I know it seems like times are difficult all over the world, not just in specific places, but all over the world. But where there is troublesome times, then the Spirit of God is also there to bring peace and comfort and joy in people's lives who look to Him. Thank you for being our partner for the last 4 years or so. The last time I stood here, well, I didn't stand here, it was over in the storefront, but the last time I was here, we were telling you what we thought about Liberia because we were on our way there. We had already served a term in Southern Africa, a term in East Africa, and they'd asked us to go to West Africa. We didn't know much about Liberia. I know I probably sounded like I knew everything about it, but it was just what I was told about it. But I'm here now today, and I can tell you everything about it. Can I just, are we among friends, family? Can I just be honest? After 17 years of pastoral ministry and almost 14 years of missions work, I can honestly tell you that these last 4 years have been the most difficult of our ministry. Friend and I came home beat up, wore out, tired. We honestly didn't know if we would even return to Africa or not. That's how the state of condition that we were in. I can't tell you enough about West Africa. Almost all of West Africa is that way, but especially Liberia. Liberia is so difficult. It is such a difficult place. It's difficult to minister, it's difficult to live in, it's difficult to engage. There's just nothing easy about it. It is a frustration. But we've been home 4 months now, and I can also tell you that in 4 months' time, God is doing a work in both of us, and we have signed up for yet another term to return to Liberia. So that tells you that God's power has really done something in the last 4 months, because 4 months ago, I would have told you, I'm not going back to that place. I'm just not going back there. But, you know, we do what God calls us to do, and we trust that He strengthens us to do that. Maybe you're sitting here tonight, and there are difficult things that God might have asked you to do. Maybe not go to Africa. Maybe He's asked you to hang on to a job or hang on to a relationship or reach out to someone else that's hurting. And inside yourself, you're saying, Lord, I can't do that. But if the Lord's calling you to do it, I promise you, you can do it. You can do it. Not in your own strength, but in His. If you have a Bible tonight, turn with me to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. I want to share a passage of scripture with you, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we've been doing and what's been going on. Isaiah 52, 7, and King James says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good news, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigns." Now, let me read that same verse in another translation. And it says, "How wonderful it is to see a messenger coming across the mountains bringing good news, the news of peace. He announces victory and he says to Zion, your God is king." Now, I can confess to you, I've never thought of my feet as being beautiful. And if you ask my wife, she'll tell you that I have the ugliest feet that God ever created. And that might be true and it might not. But let's delve into that a little bit. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and your sustaining power. Thank you for your word that is real and true. It is alive. It's poignant. Lord, it's powerful. It ministers to us and touches us and enables us and calls us and directs us. It's everything to us. And tonight, I pray that you would open our hearts, our spirits, and our ears to hear you and nothing else. And we give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah, writing this, praises the feet of that messenger that brings good news. And he was probably thinking of the feet that carried, the person that carried the news of the release from exile across the mountaintops, the feet that carried news from Babylon all the way across the steep, narrow mountain paths and ravines, all the way to Jerusalem to say that the exile's finished, it's over. Your God reigns, he's victorious in all. And hundreds of years later, Paul quotes this from this passage, and he implies how even more beautiful are the feet that carry the good news of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem to Samaria to the furthermost parts of the world. And he challenges every one of us with those words, not just missionaries, not just pastors, but every one of us, every one of you sitting here tonight, that same challenge goes out to you. He says in Romans 10, "How can they believe if they've not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now, there are a lot of areas in Liberia that are very remote, only accessible first by car and then by motorbike and then by foot and then across what they call a monkey bridge and then across what they know as a rope bridge and some places even only accessible by canoe. Sierra Leone's much the same way. We spent our last term in Liberia. I was the team leader in Liberia and the team leader in Sierra Leone, so I travel in and out of both countries. They're neighboring countries. They border one another. The war that decimated Liberia decimated Sierra Leone. The struggles that Liberia has faced, the Sierra Leoneans have faced the very same struggles. Each country have what we call UPGs, unreached people groups, that don't have an adequate presentation of the gospel of Christ. In Liberia, there's still about 500,000 people that we consider UPGs. And in Sierra Leone, there's about 1.2 million people that are there. So why am I saying all that? I'm saying that because our work is still there. It's still cut out for us. We haven't escaped it, and we haven't gotten away from it. In times like you and I are living right now, where you can turn on the radio and hear how many Christian radio stations, turn on a television, and you can just get station after station after station of Christian broadcasting, it's not that way in West Africa. Maybe one radio station, two radio stations in the entire country, and you can only get those in the capital city. Television is almost non-existent. You know, it's a difficult place, and yet the need is still there. And missionaries still need to go there. And maybe I'm talking to somebody here tonight that God has been dealing with, that God's been toying with you and dangling that fruit in front of you and asking you, would you give your life to the work of missions? Maybe tonight God will speak to you and say, I want you to go to Sierra Leone. I want you to go to Liberia. I don't know. Maybe not. But I do know what he's doing. He's saying, I want you to live for me. I want you to share my grace and my love. I want you to proclaim this good news that he's talking about. Good news. And if you look at that passage of Scripture, that good news, he first talks about, he brings good tidings. Good news of good tidings. And when you stop and think about that, you know, good news. What is good news? Well, eternal life. Good news is healing. Good news is, well, really and truly, what's the best news that we can have? Isn't it the news of forgiveness? Forgiveness of our sins? Because there's three things that I've certainly learned in my lifetime. And number one is, man is a sinner. Before he comes to Jesus Christ, all men are sinners. The second thing I've learned is that eternity is very, very real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's not something out there that some theologian talks about or systematic theology teaches about. It is real. Eternity is real. And then the third thing is just very, very simply, Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. So forgiveness is good tidings. Hope of eternal life is good tidings. Being loved by God is good tidings. And knowing of a God of justice who listens and acts on our behalf. That's good tidings, isn't it? And that word in the Greek for evangelism, if we use that word, that means good news to be shared. Not just good news, it's more powerful than that. It impacts more than that. It's good news that must be shared. And that's why he calls us to carry this word. It's why he calls you to share this word. It's good news because Jesus has removed all the requirements of keeping the law, and he himself gave himself a sacrifice for us so that we can enjoy that eternal life that God tells us about. Then Isaiah talks about in his message of the messenger carrying across the mountains or into the bush in Africa, if you will, and proclaims peace. Peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. But if you study that, it means more than just peace. It's rendered in the Revised Standard Version as all is well. Peace. All is well. But it implies a wholeness, a sense of well-being beyond just a simple greeting of hi, shalom. It's more than that. It's reaching out to make mankind whole. Just these past few weeks, we've seen such devastation and destruction in South Texas and in Florida and in Puerto Rico. And we see people of all nations reaching out and supplying needs for the people that are so needy. And that's what he's talking about. It goes beyond just, hi, peace. It's supplying those needs. The gospel's a holistic, transforming gospel that comes through a relationship with God. And that's one of the things, that's one of the areas that God has opened up for us in Liberia. The church there has launched a vision of planting 650 churches by the year 2020. Now, that's a very, very... How can I say this? They bit off almost more than they can chew. That's not the phraseology I'm looking for, but you understand that. You're from Texas, so you understand that. They've almost bit off more than they can chew. So we sat down with the national leadership, and they said, how can we make this happen? How can this dream even be possible? And the first thing that we all said, well, without trained workers, it's not going to happen because you don't have 650 trained workers. So how are you going to, are you just going to take you, and you out of every congregation and say, go plant a church without any training whatsoever? That would be devastating, to say the least. So we tried to come up with a way, and I believe God gave us a way to start training workers very quickly. So he gave us the idea of church planters school. Church Planter Schools, where we implemented these schools where they take 12 courses, 12 basic theology courses, evangelism, children's ministry, ministry to Muslims, missions, the power of the Holy Spirit, courses like that, that are basic courses that anyone would need in order to plant a church. And when they graduate from that, with the help of a sectional presbyter, a district superintendent, or a successful pastor around, then they too can go out and plant a church. So the national church leadership said, wow, that's a good idea, but we don't think it'll work. You know, you got to understand something about Liberia. 6 months out of the year, you can't get from one end of the country to the other end of the country. There's one road. It's a dirt road, and the rains come. And by the way, it rains 17 feet a year in Monrovia. I didn't even know there was that much water anywhere in the world. 17 feet a year. Every day it rains. And it doesn't finish raining until, what is it? It rains all day, all night for 7 straight days. That's the sign that the end of the rains have come. Heavy rain, 7 days, 7 nights straight. Whew. You go outside and you start looking for an ark, or you start looking for something, because you know you're going to have to swim out of this place. You can't get to the other part of the country. One road, and we've seen trucks. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you've seen those pictures on Facebook. If you're not friend me on Facebook, you can see them. But a truck gets stuck in a hole, a mud hole, and honestly, an 18-wheeler, you know how tall those guys are, the box on the back of that 18-wheeler? That is level with the ground. The hole is that deep. And when that truck gets stuck in that, that's it. Until something bigger, larger than him, more powerful than him, comes from either side and pulls him out of that mud hole. So that ends the travel, except by foot or by motorbike. And that's the only way. That's the only way. But before we left Liberia, the first 150 students had graduated from Church Planters School in that short of time, and the second cohort is going right now. So they will have their 650 trained workers in order to plant those 650 churches before the time is out. So it's a holistic message. It's making man whole. But another partner that came, that God brought, I'm not going to say just came, God brought, is this right here. Anybody recognize what this is? If you're an outdoorsman or a camper, you'll recognize that probably. It's a water filter. It's a Sawyer water filter. Sawyer Clean Water Systems here in the United States, a Christian-based organization, came to Liberia and saw the great need, the massive, massive outbreak of typhoid and cholera due just to dirty drinking water. Young children dying, elderly dying, middle-aged people sick all of the time because they just drink water that's filthy. It's horrible. Sawyer donated $250,000 of these filters right here. And among other people, they gave them to the Assemblies of God National Church. And our pastors are taking these filters all over the country of Liberia into every single village. And if they don't have clean water or the availability of clean water, every house, every hut gets one of these. When you put this into a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket, you can pour sewer water in that bucket, and over 150 gallons a day drip out this end right here, and you can drink it. It's totally pure. No typhoid, no cholera, nothing. 150 gallons a day from this one filter. This filter is good for about 6 million gallons. That's unbelievable. But the best part about it is when we go into the village, and these villages are Muslim controlled, there's a Muslim chief in almost every village, you know, they would never just say, come and plant a Christian church. We want the Assemblies of God to come and teach us about Jesus. That doesn't happen. But when you go into the village and you give every house one of these, and now all of a sudden their young people are not dying, their elderly are not dying, they're no longer covered with dysentery and sickness and all of the diseases that go with poor drinking water, and they're living healthy lives, those Muslim chiefs are saying, you can evangelize in my village, you can plant a church in my village, you can even tell about your Jesus in my village, as long as you leave this there. So a clean water filter opens the door for the assemblies of God to walk straight into and share the water of life. Hallelujah. That's holistic ministry. And it's changing lives. It's changing lives all over the country of Liberia. That small little item right there, that little filter cost about $15, $20. That's it. What's a life worth? What's a soul worth? What is a soul worth? He goes on and he talks about the kingdom. That the kingdom, your king is Lord. Your king is God. So this evangelism that comes with that opens the door to all that we say and all that we do. And then we reach out to that and we proclaim Jesus from one end of the country to the other. We plant 650 churches. This next term, we will return probably in June of next year to West Africa, but we're not going back to Liberia. This past 4 years, we've lived in Liberia, traveled in and out of Sierra Leone. When we return in June, we will live in Sierra Leone and travel in and out of Liberia. We'll help them finish their vision project of 650 churches there. We'll continue to help the Bible schools there. We'll continue to build churches there. But we're going to replicate all that we've done in Liberia in Sierra Leone. Now, Sierra Leone was just in the news recently. I'm sure probably you heard about it, of the great mudslide in Freetown, Sierra Leone. It's rainy season there. And when I say it's rainy season in West Africa, you can believe me, it's rainy season. And this Freetown's built on the side of a mountain into the bay of the ocean right there. And there's a portion of it, people build everywhere. They don't have inspectors. They don't have government inspectors that come in and say, this ground's good to build on, this ground's not. Build over here, build here. They just build everywhere. So they built in the worst place they could possibly build, and over 1,000 people lost their lives in that mudslide just within the last few months. Their churches were destroyed during the war. One of the most horrible things that Fred and I witnessed probably was when we returned after the Ebola outbreak. You remember the Ebola outbreak? Please don't ever forget that. 5,000 people in Liberia lost their lives to that. A greeting in Africa is so important. I would never walk up to your pastor and just say, hey, pastor, and just walk on. I would never do that in Africa. A greeting is so important. You greet, you shake hands, you ask about his family, you ask about his goats, you ask about his chickens, you ask about his livestock, you ask him about his rice crop, you ask him everything, you know, and you listen to him, and it may take 5 minutes, it may take an hour. It doesn't matter. That greeting is that important. But after Ebola, you know how they greeted after Ebola, or during Ebola and after Ebola? Most of them with tears in their eyes. No touching, no handshaking. Mm-mm. They finally got to the point where they would touch elbows if they had long sleeve shirts on. People told us, our pastors told us, that it was as bad as the Civil War. Dead bodies laying in the streets of the capital city. Nobody would touch them. Nobody would remove them. Everywhere. No stores open. Markets not open. People wouldn't come out of their homes. It was against the law to gather together for a church service like this. You could never come together like that. And they'd hear a siren occasionally. And they said it reminded them so much of the war, just desolation. The people of Liberia and the people of Sierra Leone have hurt so much. They've been so downtrodden. But Jesus wants to reach into the heart of every person there and change their lives. 650 churches, can you imagine how many thousands of people that's going to affect? Can you imagine doing the same thing in Sierra Leone? And to think, Grace Church, you have a thumbprint right there in Liberia and Sierra Leone. You are part of that. Every time a young person, an old person gives their heart to Jesus, you're part of that. You're part of that reason. Every time a church is built, you're part of that reason. Every time the Lord reaches into somebody's life and changes them for eternity, you're part of that. You see, Jesus said, take this into Jerusalem, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, what he's really saying is take it outside your door around you into the community where you are and just a little farther out than that, and don't stop until you get to the other side of the world. Can we all do that? The Church of Jesus Christ can and is doing that because of people just like you. When pastor takes a missions offering or he puts a missions project before you, no matter where it is in the world, it's because people are lost and they're hurting and they need to see the love of God in their lives. In just a few moments, you're going to see a video, and I want you to listen to the words of the song that's playing, but I want you to look at the video and look into the eyes of the people that are there. These are pictures of our ministry in these last 4 years in Liberia. And the people there are people that we have known, we've eaten with, we've lived with, we've ministered to, we've taught in schools, and we've been a part of their lives. But just look at them and let the Lord speak to your heart. Can you show us that video, brother?